All right, so this is round one of our budget review. Oh, can you not hear me? Oh, so I'm gonna have to really get that thing up. All right, so this is round one of our budget review. This is we need to do this for RTC, and then we'll be coming back again in May, and then of course June will be our final budget for next year. So I'm going to give you a quick run-through of the budget. We've already gone through committee in more detail, so I'm going to kind of do more of a higher level, but please stop me if you want to talk about anything. Right now, currently, I can't see that, so I got to look here. So right now, currently, we're coming in with a budget that has an operating loss of about $8.1 million. That is about $10 million higher than what we initially presented in our 2025 budget. And I'm going to walk through the adjustments and changes that we've made from year to year. So moving on to the next slide, I'm not going to focus too much on the P&L, but on the next slide, again, an eye chart. So our operating budget and surplus is where we're starting, and I'm going to bring you over to where we're finalizing in our FY26 budget. So we had some changes in our operating revenue. That includes our fixed route and Highway 17 primarily of about $300,000. And then with our contracts, and then really these are the small, the City of Santa Cruz and so forth, about another $300,000. So roughly our revenue, our ridership revenue portion of it is up about $600,000. That's year over year. Where the big changes came in is on our expense side. Of course, each year we have a cost of living adjustment. That's about $2 million. We've had medical, dental, vision. That's all gone up drastically year over year. Our pricing, that's about another $1.6 million. We've had additional claims on, or I'll just say higher claims on workers' comp insurance. So that's about a $1.1 million adjustment. And then we have a bunch of one-time adjustments. These are adjustments where we're doing it in 2026, but it won't carry over to 2027. So it's like we're going to do it, here's the cost, and then it's going to go away. So for example, we're doing these marketing campaigns. So that's just going to be a 2026 spending increase, and then it's going to go away. We're replacing some hybrid batteries on some Highway 17 and some ARCTIC buses. Again, that's like $300,000. That's a one-time thing. We do it. These are going to, hopefully these buses will last another 7 years. You know, we don't have to touch it. We are getting the hydrogen buses, so we'll have a one-time charge of building up our inventory of hydrogen parts. So that's another $750,000. We know that our property liability and insurance, this is a continuing item. That's up about $400,000. And then the last piece, I have $1.05 million in for the line of credit. So that would be the maximum amount, and that would hit in 2026. So that's what I talked about at the last board meeting. On the non-operating side, our sales tax, including Measure D, is down 4%. This is different than what the City of Santa Cruz is projecting. They're actually projecting up 2%. Everything we're seeing in the economy, as well as even as we pace through 2025, we're missing our targets. We're actually a little bit lower through this time year to date, and it continues to be underperforming our budget. And our budget for 2025 is flat to 2024. So the curve is going down, and we feel like based off of everything we've done from 2025 to 2024, or I'm sorry, from 2025 to 2026, we're going to be down about 4%. That's budget to budget. Actuals will be down about 1% in 2025. So effectively about a 3% drop year over year. Our state grants, our federal grants, primarily TDA/STA, is down about $500,000. That is kind of a change from RTC. We usually receive some money that comes in that's kind of shared use project oriented. The money's still staying at RTC, and we may be able to get some of that money, but this is the first year we're getting zero, and we have to figure that out. On the retiree obligations, so what I've done is We have a lot more retirees, and now it's up about $500,000. So this is health insurance, and it's a pay-as-you-go plan. So as people go to the doctor, we pay it. And we're looking at about $500,000 increase because we have more retiree participation. Our pension UAL bond, that's up about $600,000. That's because CalPERS, who actually does the investments, is not returning 6.8% on our money. So it's actually, they're returning less, so we have to make up the difference. The good thing is we have the bond. So we're actually saving money, even when they don't return the money, but or get the return on the money. But at least we still have to make up the difference. And if they have a good year, that's great. This all goes away. And then the last piece is interest income is down. That's because we're depleting our cash. And as we deplete cash, the return, the money that we get on the money that's in the bank is going to be less, absolute dollars. And all in all the expenses add up to about, all the changes add up to about $10.9 million. Worse off year over year. And now I will tell you, we are scrubbing going through this fine tooth comb between now and May. So there will be changes. I can't tell you what the changes are going to be just yet, but they are coming and it will be a little bit different, but we need to start somewhere. And this is our starting point.
Go ahead, Mike.
I just think maybe a quick comment. You know, when you look at the national level and you see that the stock market is getting screwed up and often tempted to think, well, that's just all these people that have enough money to invest in the stock markets. But what's it matter to me? This the amount of return we get on the pension investment is directly related to how the stock market's doing. And so it's not just wealthy individuals who are able to invest in stocks, but public pension funds of the kind that we're involved in get directly affected by this kind of foolishness that's going on in Washington, you know, where the economy seems to be bouncing around and stock market's falling. And it affects our employees. It affects our ability. How much can we give people on a pay increase if we have to put the money into the retirement system to be able to keep up at the pension level that our employees expect from us? So it's worth noting that the foolishness there is not just affecting wealthy people. It affects the rest of us, too.
Yeah.
Like way.
Thank you. Did you have any more to share?
On the budget?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Not this slide, okay. But I got more slides.
Okay. I thought you might.
Unless you're done. moving back on the preliminary, this is just, that's the heads by department. I'm going to skip on that one. And then this is the changes in headcount. So from the FY25 budget to the FY26 budget, we're going from 443 to 454. The first four headcount that we're pulling out of the budget is really, we're just redefining those roles to a different job title, and they're reflected down below. In a nutshell, the overall increase from 443 to 454 is primarily driven by the fact of transit supervisors and mechanics. We need more mechanics because we're going a third shift because we have these buses, and then transit suits because we have so many drivers. That's the increase. That's in a nutshell is what's happening. And then moving on, so this is just kind of where our funding sources are coming from here for the budget. Sales tax and Measure D is about 38% of our stuff. TRSIP is 13.8%. That TRSIP is one-time money. This is basically for Metro Reimagine. So as soon as that money runs out, that piece of pie disappears. And then we have TDA of about 11.6, and then STIC of 7.2, and then the rest. As noted, passenger fare is only 11.8% of our total revenue stream coming in. And then moving on to the capital piece, the big piece, okay, good. So on the capital side, ultimately our whole portfolio, and by the way, these numbers are what we actually have funding for, whether it's, you know, a grant or whether we're using our own funds. Right now, the whole portfolio is about $123.7 million. We expect to spend about $69 million of it by the end of June of this year. And then next year, spend another $36.3 million in FY26 and the residual amount of 18. The big number in here is about halfway down. It says revenue vehicles, the 44 hydrogen buses and the 9 60 footers. That's $55 million, $56 million of the 69 that's going to be spent this year. And we're still working through the process of when they're actually going to be delivered and accepted. So some of that fund I expect to actually move into 26. And we're talking about months difference. And that's really the issue, is once we accept that, we pay for the bus. And that's where you're going to see it impacted here. So as we move to May, we'll have a better idea of when we're going to be accepting the buses. And I would see 69 coming down and the 36 going up. But the net's still the same. It's just a bridge between June to July, which is fiscal years. And then the other piece, which is up top, is your hydrogen fueling station coming in, which is primarily targeted for FY26, and that's about $11.9 million. Those are the big pieces that are sitting on the budget itself. And then on here, so our budget portfolio right now, how it's being spent, almost 50% of it is TRSA. So this is the money to buy the buses. So that's piece of the pie is going to disappear. Once we get the buses, have to pay for them, we're going to submit for TRSA. And then the rest of the pieces are operating capital reserve fund. That's to pay for some of the smaller pieces, the temp fueler part of that, as well as a lot of our matching pieces associated with the buses and the permanent hydrogen fueler. And then that's it. That would be it.